going to read our statement of purpose this morning. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And today I believe I will be highlighting core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And then I did think that I wanted to also read the definition of one true self, because I hadn't read that in a while and I really, really liked that. So let me read that. So, one true self. Most people go about their daily lives believing the thoughts in their minds, believing their perceptions, and believing they are the body-mind personality that they experience themselves to be. Most people never question this knowledge about who they are. They take it to be a fact. Spiritual masters from all religious traditions and throughout history urge us to question these ideas of identity. They teach that the body-mind personality that we take ourselves to be is nothing more than a temporary existence, like a living costume, while the true self, which is eternal, is ever-present, right here, right now, as what we truly are. Jesus referred to realizing the true self as being born again. Buddha called it enlightenment. Ramana Maharshi called it self-realization. Spiritual seekers have sought the direct experience of truth longer than man has kept spiritual records. Our earliest teachers were once seekers themselves. Jesus advised, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened." Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to embracing all universal wisdom that points to truth, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny our truth by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the direct experience of self-realization. So that is the highlighting of core value number 3. And then we have announcements. So let me find them as well. Okay. And, excuse me. So announcements. So the sanctuary will be closed this Tuesday, which is New Year's Day. But the sanctuary will be open this Wednesday, January 2nd, for our regular schedule from noon Eastern time until 10 p.m. Eastern time. Some of the highlights this Wednesday include the next lesson in Enlightened Leadership with Regina at 2 p.m. Eastern, a new program with our sanctuary director, Don Fernandez, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and Life as Love with Reverend Helen Avery at 8 p.m. Eastern time. That is only a sampling of the great programs that are available in the sanctuary every Wednesday. For more information, click on the sanctuary schedule icon on our website homepage. The first retreat at the Awakening Together Retreat House is coming up soon, January 21st through the 25th. It is a self-inquiry retreat with Regina Dawn Akers. The retreat is based on the teaching of Ramana Maharshi. At the retreat, you will learn the subtleties of self-inquiry, and you'll get the opportunity to practice self-inquiry in a variety of ways, including guided self-inquiry, meditative self-inquiry, self-inquiry with a partner, and journaling based on self-inquiry. Every participant will receive a book of quotes about self-inquiry from Ramana Maharshi and you will have the opportunity to contemplate those quotes and discuss them with your fellow retreat participants. The purpose of the retreat is to help you advance in the process of self-inquiry in a very short time. So when you go home from the retreat, you will be able to use self-inquiry more effectively to abide in the true self and detach from the false self. This retreat is a great way to start the new year by delving deeper into direct understanding of the true self. For more details and to register, go to awakeningtogether.org and click retreats and classes on the menu bar. The movie for this month's movie group is a favorite. It's Revolver, directed by Guy Ritchie. To the casual observer, it seems to be a crime thriller involving gangs, gambling, cocaine trafficking, a high-stakes heist, murder, and revenge. However, to the discerning spiritual student, it is one of the best films ever made about letting go of ego and awakening to pure, undisturbed peace. One spiritual commentator nicknamed Revolver as the formula to enlightenment. Even if you've seen this movie before, we recommend watching it with subtitles on so you don't miss a thing. We will discuss Revolver on Sunday, January 27th, so you've got plenty of time to watch it more than once before movie discussion group. So those are all of our announcements for today. Let's see. We're going to do one more opening song, and then we'll have our prayer and our reading. So I will let go of the mic for the song, and I'll see you back here in a minute.
Leave them. your soul, live in peace. I won't let you worry at all. I won't let
Thank you, Lynn. As always, you nailed it. That was beautiful and relaxing. Very nice. All right. I got caught going and getting myself a drink of water. So I'm back. All right. So our reading is going to be inspirational reading. Will come from Reverend Hal Seeley. Thank you, Hal, for stepping up and helping me out. And we are going to read classic Course in Miracles workbook lesson 109. So Hal, thank you so much.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I didn't know if these headphones were going to work or not. All right. All right, this morning we'll be reading from Lesson 109, A Course in Miracles. And before I begin, I just want to thank Kathy for asking me to read for you. And I went to the lesson early on in the week when she asked me, and I read it, and then had to read it again, and then had to read it again, and something just wasn't setting right with me. And I have to say that it's funny that she should ask me to read this, because I found out that I had trouble resting. And I'll begin, and can't wait to hear what she has to say about this lesson. We ask for rest today and quietness unshaken by the world's appearances. We ask for peace and stillness in the midst of all the turmoil born of clashing dreams. We ask for safety and for happiness, although we seem to look on danger and on sorrow. And we have the thought that will answer our asking with what we request. I rest in God. This thought will bring to you the rest and quiet, peace and stillness, and the safety and the happiness you seek. I rest in God. This thought has power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances, to that same truth in everyone and everything there is. Here is the end of suffering for all the world and everyone who ever came and yet will come to linger for a while. Here is the thought in which the Son of God is born again to recognize himself. I rest in God. Completely undismayed, this thought will carry you through storms and strife, past misery and pain, past loss and death, and onward to the certainty of God. There is no suffering it cannot heal. There is no problem which it cannot solve. And no appearance but will turn the truth before the eyes of you who rest in God. This is a day of peace. You rest in God, and while the world is torn by winds of hate, your rest remains completely undisturbed. Yours is the rest of truth. Appearances cannot intrude upon you. You call to all to join you in your rest, and they will hear and come to you because you rest in God. They will not hear another voice but yours because you gave your voice to God, and now you rest in Him and let Him speak through you. In Him, you have no cares and no concerns, no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of future, and no past regrets. In timelessness, you rest, while time goes by without its touch upon you, for your rest can never change in any way at all. You rest today. And as you close your eyes, sink into stillness. Let these periods of rest and respite reassure your mind that all its frantic fantasies were but the dreams of fever that has passed away. Let it be still and thankfully accept its healing. No more fearful dreams will come now that you rest in God. Take time today to slip away from dreams and into peace. Each hour that you take your rest today, a tired mind is suddenly made glad. A bird with broken wings begins to sing. A stream, long dry, begins to flow again. The world is born again each time you rest. And hourly remember that you came to bring the peace of God into the world that it might take its rest along with you. With each 5 minutes that you rest today, the world is near waking, and the time when rest will be the only thing there is comes closer to all worn and tired minds, too weary now to go their way alone. And they will hear the birds sing, begin to sing, and see the stream begin to flow again, with hope reborn and energy restored to walk with lightened steps along the road that suddenly seems easy as they go. You rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers from your rest to draw them to their rest along with you. You will be faithful to your trust today, forgetting no one, bringing everyone into the boundless circle of your peace, the holy sanctuary where you rest. Open the temple doors and let them come from far across the world and near as well. Your distant brothers and your closest friends, bid them all enter here and rest with you. You rest within the peace of God today, quiet and unafraid. Each brother comes to take his rest and offer it to you. We rest together here, for thus our rest is made complete, and what we give today we have received already. Time is not the guardian of what we give today. We give to those unborn and those passed by, to every thought of God, and to the mind in which these thoughts were born and where they rest. And we remind them of their resting place each time we tell ourselves, I rest in God. And that ends the reading.
Thank you, Hal. I really appreciate you reading. And it looks like I forgot to say our prayer, so we're going to close our eyes now and join in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity, as my friend Jacqueline says, to teach what I would learn. I come to you seeking rest and a desire to share that during this time that we get to come together. I pray that everyone that seeks rest will be touched with the willingness to hear what is most helpful to them during our time together. Thank you again. Bless all ears who hear. And I give you myself that you might share through me, that I might hear and learn as well. Amen. Okay. Quite a bit like I think what Hal shared on, I have read this lesson many times. And I am so grateful for Gentle Healing. I am doing self-study, and I'm back in year two, but like in day 100. But the progress that I have made in the work with Gentle Healing is, when I come upon this lesson, I no longer use it to, evaluate where I am and feel like I fall short. That is kind of how this lesson used to ring for me, is I would, be reading it and I'd be like, well, that's not me. Goodness gracious, what am I doing reading this stuff? And when I read it now, what it does is it affirms for me a aspiration, and it reminds me that the only place where real rest can be found is in the truth. And that's how I read this now, is I rest in truth, that if there is going to be rest in my life, it is going to be by resting in God and resting in the truth. So I recognized for myself that I had this desire and this need for this idea of rest. And I so was contemplating a little bit about fatigue, basically. And I do believe that it's always some form of fatigue, some form of weariness, that often leads people to seek for a spiritual path. Fatigue from exhaustion from some kind of battle, whether that be, relationship issues, addiction issues, whatever that might be, that leads people to seek some kind of restoration and some kind of Am I back? Okay. All right. So I got to the end of this year as we are looking at the past year, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and we were talking about how tired we were from this past year, and that we needed some restoration. And part of that for me is dealing with a health issue over the year. And in June was diagnosed. I had my mammogram did its job and found a carcinoma. And so that started a whole process of doctors and treatment and surgery. I had to have some surgery, and the journey through that, the outcome was great, and I had to have radiation and all that kind of stuff. Treatment was very successful and all was well, but it left me quite exhausted. So that's what kind of led me to think about what rest would be necessary to kind of recuperate. So I went searching for what some other folks have to say about rest. And I have some quotes that have been helpful to me. I'm lost. Hang on 2 seconds. One of the first ones was recently in the tip from Regina. I can't remember what day it was, but she said, "It is helpful to notice how you feel when thinking is spinning the mind. Notice that thinking is the cause of suffering. Grow tired of thinking as your guide." And so when I saw that, I realized that my sense of fatigue over the last year was not necessarily the issues that I faced. It was my thinking about the issues that I faced, as it often is. And so I was reminded that part of the spiritual journey is a process of bottoming out on our thinking. We often talk about, addictions and in addiction circles and recovery circles, there is a lot of talk about having to bottom out on whatever that addiction is before we're willing to get some help for it. And I think that's exactly what we do with thinking, with this this belief in this personal identity. And part of that process is growing tired of thinking as your guide. And what a gift it is to actually grow tired of it, to begin to see that it doesn't serve you, to begin to see that the worry, the planning, regrets, grievances, all that kind of stuff is what is exhausting you and taking breaks from it. I was also reminded that the first time that I read this lesson, I Rest in God, was when A Course in Miracles first came into my life. And at that period of time, I was in the middle of experiencing my first real spiritual awakening. So it was a very much a time of rest. I had surrendered an issue for the first time and was really feeling the presence of God. I was really feeling a shift, I guess. And so as I read that lesson, it was more like confirmation of what was going on with me. And that was a beautiful, beautiful experience. There was quiet in my life and in my mind for the first time in my life. And I was very grateful for that. I have not remained in that spot. I truly believe that the final frontier is this spiritual ego that I wrestle with most of the time. And I go in and out of periods of being able to rest and periods of being caught up in this person called Kelly more times than not. And so the first thing I think in any spiritual lesson in any journey is to be willing to look honestly at kind of what Hal hit on as we read through lesson 109 and be honest about what keeps us from rest. And that's, you know, a big part of what the journey is right now. That's, you know, for me and, you know, my study of gentle healing and doing that stuff, it is, you know, looking daily at what gets in the way of being able to set aside or let go of this person that I think I am, I suppose. And so it's looking at everything that we do identify with and start spinning out on. I discovered something that was in the heart of the Buddha's teaching that was talking about that it's chapter 6, it's stopping, calming, resting, and healing. And it says, the second function of shamatha is calming. When we have a strong emotion, we know it can be dangerous to act, but we don't have the strength or clarity to refrain. We have to learn the art of breathing in and breathing out, stopping our activities and calming our emotions. And then it says, after calming, the third function is resting. Suppose someone standing alongside a river throws a pebble in the air and it falls down into the river. The pebble allows itself to sink slowly and reach the riverbed without any effort. Once the pebble is at the bottom, it continues to rest, allowing the water to pass by. When we practice sitting meditation, we can allow ourselves to rest just like that pebble. We can allow ourselves to sink naturally into the position of sitting, resting without effort. We have to learn the art of resting, allowing our body and mind to rest. If we have wounds in our body or our mind, we have to rest so they can heal themselves. And that's, you know, that is the purpose of, you know, our awareness, watching awareness. It's the purpose of any willingness we have to sit and be quiet. It is to allow those things that get in the way of rest to come up so we have an opportunity to let them go. One of the things about being fatigued, I find it ironic that, you know, we talk in, you know, metaphysical realms about that we're sleeping all the time. And I find it funny that that symbol of sleeping does not create rest for us. It actually it creates the opposite, that it is truly through awakening that we find rest, awakening to our true self, as opposed to, you know, the character that we play. There is a quote that I saw from, I thought it was very interesting, from Jim Carrey. And it was for a YouTube video that he did, and I didn't actually look at it, but I did hear the quote. And what it reminded me of is when I go through periods of being not feeling well, or, you know, when I find myself wanting to sleep a lot, in, you know, it's often, you know, kind of depression, trying to avoid, trying to get away from, all that kind of stuff. And there was this quote from Jim Carrey that said, to view depression as a call to deep rest from the character you have been playing. And I thought that that was pretty profound, that that is truly what we need to take a break from more times than not, is our idea of who we are. And there was one more thing that I was looking for. Oh, that was the other one. Thank you, Dawn. That was another quote that I had, was from Jeff Foster. Let me find it. Oh, this one says, your tiredness has dignity to it. There is no shame in admitting that you cannot go on. You have been on a long journey from the stars. Even the courageous need time to rest. And that is true. I, you know, I find it symbolic that sometimes it's, I feel when I'm feeling fatigue, sometimes it's from the current day at hand. And then other times it feels like it is fatigue from the journey, however long we have been on this journey. And it can be throughout the course of a lifetime, or it can be just throughout the course of a day. And it is just the weariness. It's just the weariness of believing who I think I am. And that is the challenge. So the solution, obviously, is continuing to provide, or be willing to bring willingness to the practice, to be willing to study, to be willing to sit, to be willing to look, to look at the untruths that I carry around all the time in my daily life, and be willing to see them differently. And I tend to do that a little bit on my own. I think I did mention that I am doing gentle healing, and I do the self-study. So I listen to the audios from the week of whatever reading I'm doing. But there's a bit of isolation with that. And so then when I come in and I'm with you folks, it is a little disjointed. So I apologize. The other couple times I have led Awakening Together, I spent time prepping. I actually wrote out everything, and I thought this time I would try it. What everybody else says, that we would just say a prayer and see how guidance led. But the fear overtook me. So I apologize for that. I know it was disjointed, and I think that there were some moments where Holy Spirit was able to come through, but I think there was an awful lot of ahas and whatnots, and I kind of apologize. So the truth is, that is all that I have, and except I do have one more quote, and this comes from Recovery Circles and in our literature. Co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson, wrote a great thing in one of our steps. And it was talking about getting through the day when we come up against issues. And it says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated, asking for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. And then this is a line that has always really made sense to me, and I think spoke much truth. And he said, we do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And that, I think, is probably the central point that I wanted to make more than anything else, is that it is self-will. It is trying to arrange things to our liking that creates the fatigue, that creates the weariness, that creates the sense of separation that we are all trying to heal. And more than anything, the lesson 109, I hope, serves for me as more like something to pair up alongside my spiritual aspiration, that that I can learn to rest more and struggle less, because the struggle keeps me from remembering who I am, and that is my main spiritual aspiration, is to heal the mind and to remember who I am in truth, and to be that in every moment. And I need rest to do that. I need to take a break from this character, Kelly. And I guess I do have one more thing that I'd like to share before we close, because there is something from, if I can find it, it's from Way of Mastery. And it is one of my favorite prayers. And it is a calling to replace Kelly with truth. And it goes like this. May Christ alone dwell within and as this creation I previously have thought of as myself. May Christ alone inform each thought, each choice, and each breath. May love direct each step. May love transform this journey through time, that in time I may come to know the reality of eternity, the sanctity of peace, the holiness of intimacy, the love and the joy of the Father prior to every breath, and indeed prior to every thought that arises in the mind. And that is my aspiration. And you guys are so sweet, because I, you know, fear is such a bugaboo, and I look out and you guys are so kind and so loving. So I am not sure why I allow that fear to run me, but that is something to look at, I suppose. All right. So I am going to let go of the mic, and I think we will have, we can have a closing song, and then we can open up to see if anybody else wants to share. That would be awesome. So, thank you guys. I love you, and I love Awakening Together, and I am very appreciative that, I had this opportunity. So, I'm going to let go and we can close. Thank you.
Like a field of grass on a hill so dry, but the air won't move. Won't fly when
Juven.
Yes. Yeah, I finally found a little hand symbol here. Thank you. Wow, Kelly, that was great. I really felt your message. I really felt what you were saying. But don't come down too hard on yourself. Cancer treatment is very debilitating. In addition to your character that you're very tired of. But I did want to let you know that it's very strange that you asked me to read this, because once I went through the lesson, I couldn't get through it. And as usual, if I find resistance, I know something needs to be looked at. And after reading it about 3 or 4 times, I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel this resting. It just didn't resonate. And I ended up going to my library looking for some answers somewhere. It's funny. What came to my mind was the book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hayes. Now, I had read something by her many, many years ago, but it wasn't a book. It was more of just a list of her suggestions and what an illness is caused by. And this book turned out to be extremely helpful to me. She talks about patterns in her life that are present that we're not aware of, maybe that causes illnesses and other dysfunctions in our life. And I got to a section in the book, and I was thinking about resting in God while I was doing this journaling. And I wanted to read what I wrote. I feel all the bad health that I have experienced is somehow connected to God. Maybe punishment or him just withholding favors. I don't think I trust God. Why? Because of the situation I was born into? Maybe I don't trust anyone. I'm sure that I'm being punished for my sins. I cannot change this pattern because I need to keep God at arm's length. And I want to say that during this journaling, I really felt the resistance to trusting God. And I couldn't figure out why. And I realize that if I let my guard down, he will punish me even more than he has. And this really puzzled me. What the heck am I talking about? I don't believe in punishment. But what I found out from a very early pattern in my life was that I had, because of the teachings I was taught in the evangelical church that I attended as a youth, that we were born into sin, and that if we did wrong, we did bad, we'd be punished. And I guess I developed a belief that all the things that's happened to me that are negative, like my health in the recent years, is because I have something wrong with me, or I'm just not looked favorably upon by him. And that blew me away, because I never realized that this pattern had still played out in my life. And as Louise Hayes says, it's just belief. It has nothing to do with reality. And I go, oh, wait a minute, Maybe it's not just belief. Maybe it's true. I got to thinking, and an answer came to me that, look at all the bad people in the world. They're not being punished. Yeah, there's no punishment. But it could be that, as she says, our beliefs manifest in form. So, Kelly, thank you. And I'll drop the mic.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Kelly, you know, spirit, I just want you to know that you said that you didn't do any preparation. I mean, you really didn't need to. Spirit spoke through you, most definitely, and spoke directly to me. You know, I was standing in my kitchen and you were talking about the resting, and I think you talked a little bit about depression, and I can't remember the exact words. It doesn't matter, but the message, it went right to me. And I just want you to know that you were definitely speaking to somebody out there, because I picked up, you know, on your message, and I think it's fantastic. And I just want to say thank you very much for giving me permission to rest. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I just, there were a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, I want to echo what Joanne just said, that every word of that felt inspired to me. And in fact, on the inside, I was giggling a little bit, because it was about 9:05 my time when you said, you know, that's all I have. And then there was one more thing, which led to some sharing. And then there was one more thing, which led to some sharing. And I think those were examples of spirit guiding you right there. You know, the prompt of the one more thing, and then the sharing, and the prompt of the one more thing, and the sharing. So it was just perfect. The other thing that I wanted to say was, this was, in my opinion, absolutely the perfect topic and sharing for our last Sunday in 2018. You know, traditionally, the end of the year and the beginning of a new year is a time for resolutions. And in fact, Jasmine and I were commenting yesterday how many diet commercials there are on TV this time of year, because that's what most people want to do, is get rid of the flab. But I can't think of a more perfect New Year's resolution for the spiritual aspirant than more rest, right? Whether that's the type of rest that comes through contemplation, the type of rest that comes through meditation, the type of rest that comes through saying a mantra throughout the day, just more rest, more I rest in God. It was gorgeous. I just cannot tell you how much I appreciated today. Kelly, before you commented that you thought your sharing was disjointed, prior to that comment, I was just thinking how perfectly it flowed. So I want to thank you. And I also want to say thank you for saying yes to Mystery Minister. And I also want to say, I hope we see more of you. I think you're a brilliant teacher. I don't think you have any idea how fabulous that was. So thank you.